Sports Radio Call-In Show. This is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock at 3:02 on your Thursday afternoon, getting through the off week this year here in Big Orange Country. And what an off week it's been. Feel like we're still basking in the glow of the Florida game. And why not, man? I ain't going to call the cops on anybody's party.
Oh, no. I've got my coals are fully banked.
We're riding this
wave. I'm warming myself by the glow.
Still drinking from the keg of glory.
Yeah, I'm still sitting by the fire that is a Florida Gators football season.
We're riding this wave into the weekend. I'm actually looking forward to watching them on Sunday. I mean, I guess we'll have NFL games going on too, but I'll be checking them out.
I'm going to be interested in keeping an eye on Richardson and see if he can duplicate what he did at Neyland.
Yeah, I mean, there would be some telltale signs, some things that kind of help us figure out where we're at. Ooh, watch LSU and Auburn too.
Call me crazy, Russell, but I kind of doubt he's going to look like that when they play in the cocktail party.
Richardson? I mean, but that's Georgia.
Yeah, I mean. But I think it'd be interesting. We'll know more about what was really what coming out of the Florida game after both teams play their next two or three games.
No doubt. Just me and Bear today. Marcus has the day off, so we'll have you for the next 3 hours. Our friend Lucas Widespread Panzeca, 104.5 The Zone in Nashville, is going to join us in hour number two. So we are open lines pretty much all the rest of the way there. So if you want to jump in, go ahead and take a shot now. We'll get some phone calls going here in the A block if you want. 865-546-8200, your number to get on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines, 546-8200. As we get set to break things down here this afternoon, RIP Coolio. That was a sad one last night, unexpected.
Yeah, they think he had a massive heart attack. Is that what they're saying?
I have no idea. I didn't look in.
Like, he went into a bathroom, didn't come out, and they found him.
No.
They just walked in and found him laying on the floor.
I guess that's just better than sitting there like Elvis.
Yeah. No, he wasn't. Coolio didn't go out like that. He just, you know. It's really sad.
Must have been a rough job for the guy who found the king. Ooh. Pants around his ankles.
I mean, thank God it's never happened to me, but I can't imagine it's got to be a pretty bad thing to walk in on.
Yeah, as far as ways to go, I mean, there's certainly worse, but that's an embarrassing one. I think the only thing more embarrassing than that would be the autoerotic asphyxiation.
Michael Hutchins.
Guy. Yeah, the NXS guy.
Yeah, Michael Hutchins and then David Carradine. Right.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Yeah. They walk in, find you hanging from the Bowflex with your drawers around your. Yeah, that's not good. Yeah. The
crazy, crazed grin on your face.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
The ultimate sad trombone to go out on.
Yeah. That ain't going out, you know, tell my wife I love her and then saving the planet kind of deal.
The last thought going to that guy's head is, too, is he's like, well, this is going to be a hard one for the wife and kids to explain.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Not good.
That's why you shouldn't do that stuff. Just to prevent that possibility from ever becoming reality.
Yeah. The risk-reward ratio is way out of balance there.
Just imagine the look on your wife's face if
oh no.
I was like, hey, Mrs. S.
No. That would be it'd be very disappointing, I would say, on multiple levels.
Yeah. But I'd lie for you. I'd go to my grave lying for you.
Oh no, he's working out. This is a new kind of exercise he was doing. Yeah, yeah. He was working on his traps. It's a new – he invented it. It was exercise. He was telling me about it. You see, the reason his pants were down was because it helps him improve
circulation,
aerodynamic. Yeah, yeah,
sure.
How did we get here? Coolio.
Coolio. Just celebrity, weird ways to go, celebrities go.
It's what happens. You spend most of your life living in a gangster's paradise.
None of us are getting out of this whole deal alive.
That's pretty strong when you're a one-hit wonder and your death is still that noteworthy. It's like 30 years after your hit.
Yeah, but he had a lot of indie cred, street, you know, he had street cred.
Weird Al Perry did. I mean, when Weird Al does your song, it's.
I mean, and he song, wrote. Yeah, he wrote one of the. I mean, let's be honest, we'll be listening to Gangster's Paradise for a long time.
Yeah,
that's a pretty cool song.
It's the end of Michelle Pfeiffer too. That was kind of like her last thing.
Yeah.
Whenever you're making,
she went from like America's Smoke Show to just done.
Well, whenever you make the cliche movie about the white teacher who goes into the all-black neighborhood and the kids don't accept her at first, but then like she
in Miami,
yeah, she connects with them on a deeper level. Then all of a sudden, it's
Latino
just,
kids.
And... Yeah, that's always you don't bounce back from that. That's a terrible movie.
It is. that song is a banger.
It is. Yeah,
and you can't deny it. I mean, that's a jam.
Oh,
I mean, we can't even put it in the game. It's a great song they sampled. Stevie Wonder.
Shout out to our listeners down in Florida who are they're taking it hard right now, man.
Go Gator.
Our listener, Dave, he's kind of had a little bit of run. His mom lives in Naples down there.
Just down south,
friend of
right?
the show, yeah.
Near Miami?
No, like got walloped by this thing the other day, so.
Still no word on Braves Mets. Braves lost in extra innings last night. Mets won in extra innings.
So they tied again?
Mets are up by a game. We've got a three-game series coming up, and I saw they've got DeGrom and Scherzer scheduled to start. We've got our guys scheduled to start. Should be a heck of a series, man, if they get it in.
Like, you absolutely know the Duke of Granger is, like, glued to his phone. You're in his head right now. This old Braves-Mets thing.
My confidence is still high. It's not as high. It's not supreme. Yesterday I was feeling pretty supreme. Lose to the damn Nationals, man. What are we doing?
He was hating on you and the Braves Friday
the
night.
He's terrible.
It was funny.
Terrible. All right. Getting down to it here this afternoon on a Monday, Thursday edition of the show. What do you think about this? Oh, and by the way, Aaron Judge hits number 61 last night.
Did you see the guy that bricked? I mean, it's like something I would do. The guy who could have caught 61 and dropped it.
Like it went off the balcony and then into the bullpen.
He should have gotten it. Do you imagine $1 million just flying past you like that and you got a glove to grab it with?
I saw the guy who caught Pujols' 700th. He walked out of there. Has there been a resolution to that yet?
No.
He played hardball. He left the stadium with the ball.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't blame him. I would want to get something for it. But I mean, at the end of the day, that ball needs – I mean, it's going to Cooperstown, right? When he goes in? We'll agree.
Pujols?
Oh, yeah. First ballot Hall of Famer. Yeah. That ball's going to Cooperstown. It's going to the Hall of Fame.
He said he intends to keep the ball right now. Surely not, right?
Come on, dude.
He's playing hardball.
Yeah. They need to break him off some, you know, don't be stupid and ask for something unreasonable. That's Albert Pujols' ball.
I really like Pujols' quote, though. Souvenirs are for the fans. I don't have any problems if they want to keep it. If they want to give it back, that's great. But at the end of the day, I don't focus on material stuff. Albert Pujols, very likable.
Yeah. He's basically effed that ball.
You think Pujols and Judge are clean?
Define clean.
They're so big. Like, not using performance-enhancing drugs.
I think there's a possibility they are. I think their diets and everything about them physically is tightly controlled and maximized for, you know, building muscle mass and being.
They're not on the Babe Ruth, Mickey Mantle health plan.
No.
Which you figure that stuff into it, but I don't know, man. I see a lot of people coming off on the 90s guys, Sosa, McGuire, Bonds, and some people saying, ah, to heck with that. They're like, I don't know where. I mean, sports radio, I know you're supposed to have a hard take on all this stuff, and I just don't know what to think of it. And we could say how Pujols is super likable. McGuire and Sosa were likable. Bonds wasn't likable. Should that matter?
No, it shouldn't. Judge is just a large human. I mean, and it's not like Albert's small. I mean, those dudes are humongous.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Judge, he's what, 6'7", 6'6", 240, 250. Yeah, he's built like an NFL defensive end or a tight end. So, but who knows?
Who knows? Fan Run Radio, first segment today brought to you by our friend Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group. He does real estate the right way. Home market it's interesting right now. Certainly more inventory on the market than there has been at any point in the last couple of years. Houses are hanging around for a minute. They're still selling high. So this is a great time to sell your home. It's a better time to buy your home than it has been in a while. No matter whether you're selling or buying or both, you're going to need a credible realtor on your side advising you through the process. And that's what's so great about Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group. He's been doing this for a long time. He's moved so much inventory the past couple of years. The experience, the expertise, the trustworthiness. Love Bo Kregner over at the Kregner Group. And if you've got any real estate questions, even if you're thinking about selling your home next year, maybe in the spring, get started now. You might have to do some painting, some new carpet, some landscape work, something like that, so that when you do go to market and list your home, you can list it for as high a price as possible and sell it for as high a price as possible. Call my guy Bo today. His first phone call is free. The consultation is free. Doesn't cost you a dime. His number is 865-742-1035. 742-1035. Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group. Get it listed, get it sold, and move on. Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group. Real estate the right way. Shout out to George listening in Orlando. Says he's all good there. No hurricane issues. So the middle part of the panhandle doing well right now. Mayor, what do you think about this Checker Vandy thing? Cringe or cool?
Oh, absolutely. It may be the most cringy thing I've ever seen. It's dumb.
Why?
Do not do that.
Why?
I mean, it's you're just going to try and dunk on Vanderbilt? You going to punch down that far? Really?
When
they've got nothing.
Yeah. When I first heard it, and this was talked about a couple of years ago. I remember we talked about this.
Yeah, I thought it was cringy then.
It was kind of jokey. See, I didn't. I thought it was kind of cool then. And my first thought when I saw it again this year was, that would be really funny. What a great troll job. But the more I see about it online, I do kind of feel for the Vandy players. And you tell me if I'm getting soft here. But, like, those kids, they're not Tennessee, Florida-level players, certainly not Alabama, Georgia-level players. They've worked very hard to get a scholarship to a great academic institution. They're playing in the SEC. They're getting their brains beat out. It's Vandy. Is it, you know, it seems like we're going awful hard to dunk on these guys who, granted, they want to beat our brains out. It's an in-state rival. But I don't know, Bear. Am I getting soft in my old age? It would be the troll of all trolls, college football style.
I mean, to me, it's just, why punch down? Because also in the back of my mind, we aren't that far removed where somebody could have made a pretty good attempt at pulling a stunt in our own stadium when nobody was going.
Well, we've never.
They were getting like 62,000 over there at the end of the Butch era.
Yeah, I don't know if that would have ever been possible over at Neyland. But I do think there's something to be said also for Vanderbilt. They had a nice little run there. Once James Franklin got there, they beat us a couple of times. And Derek Mason was kind of like it. There was definitely a backslide there, but he still beat us. And, you know, it certainly feels like they're back to where they were before Derek Mason got there now, which is to say utterly irrelevant. And Tennessee went through a hard time too, and it just so happened to coincide with the time that Franklin got there, and it actually became a rivalry since, what, 05 when they ended the streak till, I guess, 2018, Pruitt, you know, the last time they beat us.
Yeah, but I mean, it was just we were at our program worst except for the epic year in 1898 is the only year I found worse than that year, but or that team.
Yeah. So I do think that it's time at Tennessee, if we're back, and again, that term is subjective.
That's just Vanderbilt's an afterthought, man.
Yeah, you don't legitimize Vanderbilt and Kentucky and South Carolina for that matter, and Missouri might fit into this equation too. We have to have a paradigm shift, if I can borrow a corporate buzzword here for a second.
Paradigm shift.
We got to stop thinking about, and that's fine, because for years I remember the take was, hey, listen, you can't compete with Alabama and Georgia until you start taking Kentucky and Vandy and South Carolina for granted again. And I don't know that we're taking those games for granted, but we definitely feel a lot better about them now than we did just 3 years ago. So I think that it is time to put that stuff aside. Hey, by all means, let's take over Dudley Field, First Bank Stadium, whatever they're calling it now. Pack that place with orange is what I say. Cheer your team. Dunk on Vandy that way.
Man, you don't need to go to all those. I mean, well, it's just classless.
You guys tell me, and we'll make it our Record Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question. We'll put the poll in the field this afternoon. Cool or cringe? Checker Vandy, they've got the website set up. I mean, I think
that's just dumb, man.
Are gonna try and do this, so we'll talk about it here. Quick timeout, The Drive, Fan Run Radio. Your phone calls coming up next. Stay with us.
The Drive.
Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Thursday afternoon edition of the show. 105.7 FM, 1340 AM, streaming online at fanrunradio.com, your free Fan Run app. Our live stream is powered by Linderman Sports Medicine. Experience the miracles of modern regenerative medicine with Linderman Sports Medicine online, lindermansportsmedicine.com. We go to the Big Orange Phillies phone lines for the first time this afternoon. TJ, the Kentucky fan, batting leadoff today. What's up, TJ?
Hey, what's up, fellas? Almost the weekend. How you guys doing?
Doing well. How are you, sir?
Not too bad. Hey, you know, you talking some baseball there at the beginning of the show, and that's my kind of thing there, but 2013 MLB draft. You want to know what's cringe there, Russell?
What's that?
First round pick number 31, the Atlanta Braves take Jason Hirsch.
Who?
Round one, pick 32, the New York Yankees select.
No.
Aaron Judge.
Oh! It's an art, not a science, TJ.
Yep, that hurts.
That hurts.
Hey, ouch. You know, I think the guy with the 700 home run ball, you know, Barry, you were saying it yourself. You said it perfectly. Don't be stupid. If the Hall of Fame comes to you, or if the St. Louis Cardinals call you and say, hey, we'll give you $1 million for this baseball, I take the money and run.
Sure. Yeah, and, you know, everybody might value it differently. And I understand walking out of there. Like, I wouldn't have given Aaron Judge that ball last week for a couple of bats and signed balls. I mean, I don't know. To me, that stuff is virtually worthless. Give me cash. You know?
Yeah, and but a reasonable sum, and turn the ball over and let it go to where it belongs, which is going to be in the Hall of Fame.
Well, if I'm Aaron Judge and you're getting set to sign one of the biggest deals in baseball history this next offseason, you know, you got to figure to him that ball is, you know, I don't think he'd go overboard with it. It's just a baseball. But if I knew I was getting set to sign a contract for $250 million, yeah, I might be able to carve out $1 million for one, you know, a iconic ball like that.
You know, going to football real quick on my way out, I think you do the orange out. You don't stripe it out, you orange it out, because like you said, you don't want to give Vanderbilt a reason to think they're,
I just don't know why you have to do anything. Just show up and raise hell, and we'll beat the hell out of them and come back to Knoxville. That's my point. It doesn't need to be any kind of concerted effort for everybody to show up. It's just not that big of a game. I think that's what I'm getting from Russell's speech about it. Was it correct, Russ? It's just not that big of a deal.
Well, I just don't see the need to rub those guys' noses in it. If you could do that to Florida or Alabama or Georgia or somebody that's tormented you, somebody that's a legitimate threat, but I think that, A, it's just cruel, and B, we should be better than that now.
Hey, you guys have a good day, man. Enjoy your weekend.
Thank you, TJ. Good hearing from you. 865-546-8200, your number if you want to get on the show this afternoon. Hypetello on Twitter says, Bears old enough to remember those guys running through the tee backwards in Neyland. Never miss a chance to make these guys lick the white dog poo.
Have you seen this pile of crap?
They run through the tee backwards?
I have no idea. I am not that old.
I mean, I don't remember that. It sounds like a solid troll. Brian says, McGuire was not likable at all. He was the biggest a-hole of all time. That guy that caught his 70th home run wanted to give the ball back and meet him. McGuire said no. The guy eventually sold the ball for $3 million. Well, I'd say that's a win for the guy who caught the ball.
I mean, Sammy was likable until he showed up in front of Congress and suddenly acted like we all didn't know, hadn't been listening to him speak the King's English for years and years and years.
That was good.
That was incredible. It was like a Seinfeld moment.
I forgot about
that thing.
I mean, to me, the lasting image was Rafael Palmeiro wagging his finger defiantly.
Yeah, and I remember looking at a buddy of mine. I was like, he speaks English. Correct me if I'm wrong.
And McGuire's like, up there crying like a baby.
Yeah.
I'm not here to talk about the past.
That's exactly why you're here.
Actually,
what's called, it's giving testimony on previous events. You idiot.
You have nothing to add to current events. You've been retired for a couple of years. This is actually a hearing about the past in Major League Baseball. You're a significant figure. Yes, that's exactly why you're here.
But at the end of the day, even though they're super famous and super wealthy and did some shady stuff, but at the end of the day, man, they're still just baseball meatheads. And I don't – what do you think getting called before Congress involves? Meathead baseball players. And they were caught.
Caught red-handed.
Yeah, that whole thing.
Well, the gap, and we mentioned like Babe Ruth and Mickey Mantle playing games drunk and all that stuff. So not only were these guys not empowered by these illegal substances, they were actually playing impaired. So the records are just completely different, and you could say, well, that's down to personal choice. Nobody stuck those beers in the mix hand, and hey, fair enough, but I think what was going on in baseball those days, just it sits wrong with me. And hey, I know we live in a much more laissez-faire society these days, but I got a problem with it, man.
With the boozers?
No.
Oh, with the juicers.
With the juicers, yeah.
Yeah. Last time I checked, you never heard anything about either one for the guy considered to be the greatest baseball player ever, Henry Aaron. He's just flat out.
Greatest baseball player ever. That's
the stats. I mean, he's got – it's statistics and longevity and everything.
He was pretty good. No doubt about it. Today's Rickard Ridge barbecue, smoking hot question of the day. Checker Vandy, is it cool or is it cringe? And already getting a lot of reaction to this. Over 100 votes cast already at Fox Sports Knox. On the Twitter machine, 59.5% of the audience says it's cool. 40.5% say it is cringe. So kind of divisive here. Sam says it won't work. How many people have a white UT jacket to wear when it's 30 degrees? Every time they've done Checker Neyland, it's a warm weather game.
Ooh, good point.
That's a good point. People aren't going to go and buy a white, you know. Well, you can buy, like, if I'm a large, if I really cared to do it enough, I could go buy an extra large and pull it on over my jacket just to make it, you know, look. But I don't know that our fan base is going to go to that extreme.
Well, no.
And the other thing is the Checker Neyland always has the full support and backing of
the university.
The university, the administration, the coaches and everything talk about it. They're not going to go down that road. I mean, it would have to be completely fan-driven. And they might get enough to where, you know, a handful of people in one section wearing the wrong thing doesn't throw off the effect when viewed from 10,000 feet, right?
Right.
So you'd have to get –
I just think it's dumb.
You'd have to get what? 75% of the section would have to be committed to it?
At least.
To really make it look good?
You have these black dots, black and gold dots all in it.
Well, and typically there's less orange later in the season because, I mean, who has an orange jacket? I know some of you do. I'm not casting aspersions.
I got a really funny one for you. I know who does.
I don't have an orange jacket. I like Tennessee. I like Tennessee gear. I'm not buying an orange jacket. I'm sorry. I'm not buying a jacket that – I could only wear once a year max, and I'm not the guy that wears the UT gear outside of UT settings. I know some of you are not casting aspersions.
Our guy Roger, and I know because I gave it to him, has one of Jim Chaney's Adidas that one year Adidas did the orange and it was perfect. One of his like sideline wind jackets. Roger gets that thing strapped on. He looks like a giant pumpkin.
Why you got to go after Raj?
Because he's my buddy.
Why you got to go after Raj? I feel like that's a cold shot, as Stevie Ray Vaughan would say.
Roger checked in with us yesterday. We hadn't heard from him in a while.
Well, I haven't heard anything about the third hour yesterday, which I consider a win.
Yeah. Well, we had a few phone calls. We had some good calls. Phil called in. We had some phone calls and pretty good conversation.
Bill says on Twitter, Willie Mays and Mickey Mantle, greatest player ever, not Aaron.
Who says that?
Bill.
Tell Bill to quit. Bill's obviously day drinking.
I'm not telling him anything. I mean,
just check the stats.
The stats. I mean,
I read this big thing that came out when it was – I don't know if it was from Cooper, from the Hall of Fame or whatever, but it was astounding because I never thought about it. The only number you really think about with him is the – you know, he broke Babe Ruth's record. But when you get down into, like, his triples, his doubles, his singles, I mean, just the sheer volume of hits, the games he won, just the other parts of his – besides the home runs –
Willie Mays, 20 years with the Giants, 12 gold gloves, led the NL in home runs and steals 4 times, unquestionably the best center fielder ever, and if most people would say the greatest outfielder in Major League Baseball history.
There is no greater hitter than Henry Aaron that's ever played the game.
Well, I mean, Ted Williams?
No.
Had a hit for a higher average.
Maybe a higher average, but I'm gonna look this up real quick. I'm gonna find this thing I read because, like I said, I never thought about him that way at all.
Henry Aaron, 755 home runs, 928 on base plus slugging. Mays was at 940, so slightly higher in that regard. Let's see. See what the splinter was. The splinter was 1.16 on base plus. That's stupid. That's insane. That's crazy.
2,297 RBIs. Almost 15. He had 1,477 extra base hits. 6,856 total bases.
Yeah, I'm not taking away from like the career totals, but the career totals are different because different number of games, different guys play different lengths of, you know, careers and everything. The OPS and the
kind of feel like
on base percentage.
At the beginning of Aaron's, he would have overlapped a little bit with Willie Mays, didn't he?
Well, yeah, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about just like how many games total did each of them play? And I mean, Mays might have played more, but I'm just saying, like, to me,
I don't know. I mean, they both played forever.
But I'm just saying, for me, it's career averages in the statistics that truly matter. That's kind of what I gravitate towards. 865-546-8200, your number to chime in this afternoon on the show. Let's take a quick timeout. We'll be right back. More of your phone calls coming up.
The Drive. Whether your hobby is something as simple as gardening or walking, or if you enjoy more physical activities like running, golf, or tennis, you know joint injuries are...
Back here on The Drive,
from Brazil.
It's Fan Run Radio. Your ability to have firm opinions on stuff that you have no idea what you're talking about.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Well, it just I have to remind myself whenever you start like really leaning into something, it's like
Pele's the greatest soccer player that ever played.
Myself, this guy's a total blowhard.
Tell me he's not.
Who's number two or number three?
I don't know. It's a distant second to Pele.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really don't.
I know.
Maradona?
I know you don't. Let's go back to the phones. 865-546-8200. Senor City is next. What's up, Senor?
Hey, Russ, Barely, and Marcus Dynamite. Hope your day's going well.
Marcus is off today, but Bear and Russell doing all right so far. Thank you.
Awesome. Hey, guys, y'all are talking about hitter. And, you know, when you get into hitting, there's all sorts of categories and, you know, greatest hitters, prolific hitters. I got to tell you, when Ted Williams played, I've always heard that every player thought he was the greatest hitter that ever played the game. And I know that, much like Ali, he was taken out of the prime of his career to go be a fighter pilot in the war. So he lost some valuable years when he was probably at the top of his game. But let's not forget about another guy that may arguably have the greatest nickname in sports, Charlie Hustle. Pete Rose could hit the ball too.
Yeah, he could. I tell you what, I've been reading this. SportsNot.com has an article about this. They've got the top 20, and their number one is Babe Ruth. And his stats are like stupid. And he was a elite pitcher as well. And you could say, well, you know.
That was the Stone Age, dude.
It was the Stone Age, but, I mean.
Does anybody think that fat old man's getting one over the plate on any of these? You take the kids off Tennessee's team.
But would that fat old man be a fat old man if he played in this era?
I don't know.
Probably not. And you also have to figure, like, Yankee Stadium, when it first opened, was like 500 feet to straightaway center. And he's still hitting bombs back then. How many home runs would Aaron Judge have this year if those dimensions had been the same as back then? Not 62. So
you got to figure that baseball that Babe Ruth was hitting is probably like hitting a coconut, too. It probably didn't carry anything.
Well, they said they started, I'm not sure what the exact year is, but up until some point in the late teens or early 20s, they used the same baseball for the entire game, and the custom was if you caught a ball in the stands, you threw it back. And so they're pitching and hitting lopsided baseballs literally until they fell apart for the most part back in those days.
Until they busted.
Which I don't know if that hurts or helps the hitting, but it's just another factor to consider.
Hey, I want to change the subject on you and talk a little college football. I wanted to ask you, this weekend's game between Auburn and LSU, what do we need? Do we need LSU to win, or do we need Auburn to win?
Boy, I mean, it's interesting. My gut tells me Auburn winning would be better, to have an LSU team that's doubting itself and questioning itself and in a little bit of disarray, and you know, maybe there's a quarterback controversy, whatever. Like that feels like it would help the most, but I just don't see it. I was reading an article on Three. Jesse Simonton is writing about rumblings that if Auburn loses this weekend, you might see them go ahead and pull the trigger on Harsin on Sunday. So, I mean, when I look at this game, I see an LSU team that's ascendant under Brian Kelly, that's finding its way. It's certainly not hitting on all cylinders by any stretch of the imagination, but is a very good team with a bright future. And then on the other side, I see an Auburn team that's just spinning its wheels, that's just done, that's waiting for the other shoe to fall, that is obviously on the cusp of a coaching change. And to me, that just screams LSU wins big down on the plains.
Hey, where did Auburn's coach come from before he took that job there at Auburn? What's his history?
Brian Harsin was the head coach at Boise before he got to Auburn.
So did he replace, what's his name, that went to Washington?
Peterson.
Chris Peterson.
Yeah, I believe he replaced Chris Peterson.
And why would you leave Boise State? Because all things being equal, I mean, Boise State was probably paying him pretty good.
Wanted a chance to prove himself at the big time.
SEC? West?
Bear, he's going to get some good failure money, too, if he walks away from Auburn. I think he's got a big buyout.
There's no way you take
Auburn go after.
That's the one time. There's no way you take the Auburn job unless your buyout's guaranteed. Dealing with those people? That Yellowwood idiot? Their boosters are insane.
Who do you think Auburn's going to go after?
I don't know. I don't think – call me crazy. I don't think Kiffin would take it. I don't think he'd want anything to do with that.
You see him whining about the crowd down there. I mean, that's one thing he won't have to worry about is fan support if he goes to Auburn.
I don't know, man. I mean, you're up against it at Auburn. You're playing Alabama and Georgia every year.
And Auburn seems to be going through kind of a UT – 2.0. It just seems like their leadership structure down there is a mess.
They aren't all on the same page, is what sounds to me like is the biggest problem. I mean, it's Auburn. It's not the first time this is a failed coup.
Well, they literally don't have an AD. But if I were them, I would have this would be your hope if you're Auburn. It's not bottomed out. They don't have NCAA on campus. They've got some talented players down there. You hire an athletics director that, okay, maybe he's a puppet for that board because they're just not going to give up control, but you got to get all on the same page. You got to board, AD, president, all that, and coach all on the same page, and you got to have your fans behind them, obviously. I think Kiffin could be that guy. Like, if there's anybody that can succeed amidst dysfunction.
In that chaos.
It's going to be Joey Freshwater.
Hey, yeah. Guys, I know you got other callers, so I'm going to get out the door on you. But here's my final question is, what do you think? Well, I've lost my train of thought, but I was going to ask you, and now I forgot it went out right at the door on me. So have a great show.
Yeah, yes. Thank you. The Amtrak of thought is derailed for Senior City.
That's no good.
Do we have other callers?
Huh.
No. He could have hung on and just worked through that little brain flatulence. 865-546-8200, your number to get on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines, 546-8200. It's just as well because I had a thought that I would like to explore at this present time. Is Deion Sanders ready for a Power 5 job? I hear a lot of Deion talk, not just for Auburn, but mainly for Georgia Tech.
In all honesty, this would be a big if. If he could, the Georgia Tech job in some ways would be a great job for him because of the support structure at Georgia Tech. They're one of the top academic schools in the country. And I put them over there with like Stanford and.
So like that though, I mean, didn't they
Georgia
they won
Tech, yeah.
A share of the national championship in 1990, right? Didn't they split it with Colorado that year? Am I?
Oh yeah. What I'm saying is they've got stiffer. I mean, the guys on the football team are smart.
The thing I read was it's not excuse me. Not hard to get players in. They can do whatever Notre Dame and other elite academic programs, Duke and basketball, Stanford. Get guys in, but it's hard to keep them eligible because you have to have, like, you have to be progressing towards a degree, which is hard to do there.
If that's
the thing and they have a situation where it's hard to just there's academic hurdles to be overcome, to me, that says you have to gamble. And I think Deion is a gamble. It's a high risk, high reward thing there. I don't see Deion being a good fit at Auburn. Just because
he's not ready. I don't think he's ready for the SEC.
I mean, I'm not just saying that. I'm saying that Deion and dysfunction are like that could be rough for them. Now I could see Florida State taking a shot at him. And I could see Georgia Tech taking a shot at him because, like I said, it's a gamble, high risk, high reward. If it fails, then whatever. You've been in the woods for a while anyway. You fire him, you go get somebody else. But his ties to the ATL, his brand name as a recruiter, I think he probably gets some players in there.
Yeah. It would be, could they keep him eligible? Is he going to have a good enough NIL? But he may be able to, with his star power, I mean, be able to pull in people in an NIL deal that other schools can't do. I imagine the doors that, you know, his personality opens. Well, there's a ton of money in Atlanta.
Steve is in Florida up next on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. What's up, Steve?
Hey, fellas. How you doing today?
Good. How are you, man?
Good. I was up there last Saturday, and I'm a UT Martin grad, and, of course, a big UT Knoxville fan as well. So y'all take it easy on us next couple of weeks. But here's what I was calling you about. I picked your radio station up down here in Florida, and I'm very glad that I did so I can tune into some UT feedback. But I was up there at game day. And I'm sitting here thinking about the deal that the Big Ten just struck with the TV networks, and I think they might have outdone us from the standpoint of, I may be wrong, but I think their games are going to be broadcast on all the free stations, meaning CBS, NBC, and Fox Network, in addition to the Fox Sports Network. So, I mean, we're stuck with ESPN, are we not?
Yeah, but what they don't have that we have are the best. We've got the most talent. We'll have the SEC has the top end talent, best talent in the country. I mean, it's not even close.
Oh, you're talking about on the teams and the schools, right?
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I would agree with you 100%. But I would tell you another thing too. I do not think that ESPN is our friend, and I don't think they have been since the Chris Fowler days. And I say that based on they must have said 10 times during the game day. Florida has beaten Tennessee 16 out of the last 18 times. I mean, they hammer it. And then I watched Feinbaum last week, and who's the guy that replaced Fowler on their lineup?
Reese Davis?
Yeah, Reese Davis. Reese Davis repeating the same thing that they were, even talking about how their fight song's playing in the background at game day. You know, the Florida fans up there, and we're letting them play their fight song at our rally. I just don't think those guys, are big promoters of ours because when I watch them, it seems like they're very pro-Florida and very Ohio State. That's just an opinion.
Well, when you're paying a conference $1 billion a year, you're going to be friendly to it. And I would say that Florida is in the SEC as well. So they might not be friendly towards Tennessee, but they are going to be friendly to the league. I just don't think the whole, well, we're on all these different channels. In a day and age of streaming, I mean, you're listening to us via web stream right now, Steve.
I am, but I watch all my games on TV.
On broadcast, like with the bunny ears and everything?
No.
How do you
watch?
It's on
cable,
yeah.
But at the same time, you know, a bigger screen, et cetera. But the point that I'm making is all those networks are free. We're having to pay for ESPN, and that's what drives your cable bill up.
I think most people are paying for TV, and broadcast television in some way. Now, I understand that you can get the three major networks and Fox on. You can buy the rabbit ears, the antenna for your TV, and get that free.
But you are paying for those when you get your cable.
And I don't think most people are doing that. But yeah, Bear's right. When you pay cable, you're paying for that.
Yeah, you're paying for those four channels, bro.
Yep, and the most expensive channel owned cable is what? ESPN. So for what it's worth, just seems like to me they did a little bit better than we have, having their games broadcast on the free network.
Sure, everybody can watch their second tier players, because they aren't going to have them.
Let me ask you this too: was that not our last game? I was talking to a guy that was going in and out of the building who was co-coordinating with ESPN, but he was from CBS. And I asked him, I said, is this our last broadcast on the 3:30 broadcast?
For Tennessee?
Possibly so. It's CBS.
Now, I think
they do a great job.
Yeah, I think we've got CBS next year as well, and then the new deal goes into effect. But, Steve, thanks for the phone call. We got to run hour number two of The Drive. Coming up next, stay with us. It's Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Buying and selling a home has become